Oh, snap.
The world is finally waking up to the crap that's baked into and sprayed on kibble dog food. No longer can commercial pet food manufacturers fool us with pretty pictures and false promises. This is the raw dog food truth. The view and opinions expressed on this podcast are not intended to replace medical advice. Before starting any raw diet, do research, ask lots of questions, and consult your vet.
All right, today we've got the incredible Dr. Judy Jasek, the cancer vet. But let me just say this, not just a cancer vet, oh no, much more than that. Dr. Jasek can help you get your dog in the best possible shape, even if you've had a bad diagnosis or you think you got a bad diagnosis, IBD, IBS, cancer, your dog's got arthritis, your dog's got allergies. Dr. Jasek is truly the holistic vet. All right. So you want to get in touch with her. How do you do that? Dr. Judy, holisticvet.com, or a shorter, simpler one is cancer-vet.com. How are you doing today, Dr. Judy?
I'm doing great. Enjoying this nice, beautiful Colorado weather without storms for a change.
I know, but Just wait tomorrow. We might have another one. You know,
Yeah, I know.
We're going to have a very short summer.
Or by this afternoon. Yeah, or by this afternoon.
right. Well, today we're talking about this very controversial issue of grains in dogs' diet and how that relates to this cardiomyopathy in pets. And there's so much confusion in the marketplace, Dr. Jasek. I get a lot of people who call me up and they say, do my dogs need grains in their diet? Because my vet's saying that it's good for their heart. So let's back up, first of all, and tell the listeners what this cardiomyopathy is all about in dogs.
Well, cardiomyopathy, there's actually two forms of cardiomyopathy. There's one that's the dilated form where the muscle in the heart gets stretched out basically. So the muscle gets really thin and loses strength. So it can't pump the blood as efficiently because the muscles are too thin and it's just like if you don't exercise, your muscle mass gets smaller and then you get weaker. Well, it's the same thing with the heart. And the other form is where the muscle in the heart actually starts to work harder and gets thicker, but then the chamber in the heart, the space for the blood, gets smaller. So the muscles are bigger, but there's less room for the blood in the heart. So you have the same end result, that the blood cannot, or the heart cannot pump the blood as efficiently throughout the body. And these conditions have been linked to low taurine, which is an amino acid. And if you're feeding a raw food diet with organ meat in it, chances are you're going to be fine with taurine. But what happened was, some dogs that were getting sick that were eating the commercialized grain-free dry foods. And so this link kind of got made, this cause and effect link got made between the lack of grain and the heart disease. And it's totally absurd to me because the grain is not even a good source of taurine. It's not even something dogs are meant to be eating. So now the information that's coming out is saying, well, dogs have to eat grain to have a healthy heart. And I'm like, what? Like, that doesn't even make sense. It's not something nutritionally that dogs should even be eating. And I think what they failed to address when they came out with that information is, so what else is in these foods is lacking from these foods that could be contributing? Because when they pull out the grain, they put in lentils and peas and beans, and they have to have something in there for a filler and for a binder to hold the kibble together. So it could be those things, which can also be very damaging to the gut, which can cause problems, or just the fact that they were, because of the over-processing of the dry foods, they process them at such high temperatures, if the amino acids like taurine were being destroyed during the processing and they weren't putting enough back in, then the food would definitely be deficient. But yeah, I hear this stuff and I'm like, yeah, so just feed a whole food raw diet and you're going to be fine. But the information out there is now, oh, well, dogs have to eat grain, which is just ridiculous in my opinion.
Yeah, there was an article written by Lisa Freeman, who is a vet, and it's on Clinical Nutrition Service. And I read this article and I'm like, are you serious? But now what they've said, and listen, we would invite Dr. Freeman onto the show, onto the podcast, and we would love to have Dr. Freeman and Dr. Jasek talk back and forth. That would be amazing because I just can't understand their argument. So now, Dr. Jasek, here's the thing that they're saying now. Well, it's not just grain-free. They're saying, I'm calling the suspected diets BEG diets, boutique companies, exotic ingredients. Okay, so now they're trying to link it to what they say. It may be due to ingredients used to replace grains, such as lentils or chickpeas, but it also may be due to other common ingredients found in these boutique diets, such as exotic meats. Okay, how's that? Vegetables mm-hmm. and fruits. And they go on to say, raw diets and homemade diets are not safe alternatives. They're saying out of concern, you know, with these grain-free diets that owners are switching over to raw diets or homemade cooked diets. And they're saying, but we've diagnosed DCM and dogs eating those diets too. And they're saying raw and home cooked diets increase your dog's risk for many other health problems. And I'm calling BS on that.
Yeah, I would as well. I'd be like, show me the proof. Like, where is that information coming from? You know, and can they truly prove cause and effect? And I'm guessing there's no way they can, because they're not, you know, they're not promoting things like raw feeding or, you know, homemade diets. And so they don't have a database of people doing that. I mean, where are they getting that information? If they're saying that these diseases, are linked to these diets, where are they getting in that information? And I'm guessing, I don't know for sure, but I've just seen this before, that there'll be one or two cases, and most likely it's because the diets were not being fed appropriately. They weren't balanced. And you know, I see that a lot in home prepared, and I don't typically recommend that people try to home prepare, you know, diets for their pets. It's with a company like yours, like the Raw Dog Food Company, that has all of these blends to choose from. By the time somebody goes out and shops for all of those ingredients and finds well-sourced products, they're spending so much time and probably just as much, if not more, money, and they run the risk of not getting it balanced. So I think it could very well be the case that they maybe had some cases of dogs that were being fed, you know, hamburger. I've seen people like this. Like, oh, I feed a raw diet. What do you feed? Oh, hamburger and a few vegetables. You know, that's not mm-mm. nutritionally complete. If you don't have enough organ meat in there, if you're not giving them the bone, they're going to be mineral deficient, and they're going to be deficient in some of these essential amino acids like taurine. That, and the other thing about the taurine is I think it's a big, big error in the commercial pet food industry to be micromanaging nutrients. These nutrients are meant to be taken into the body as a package. So if dog eats liver or heart, they're not just getting taurine, they're getting a full complement, and in the proportions that they're meant to exist in nature, because these nutrients all work together in the body and they're meant to be taken in together. So I would so be questioning where they got that information. And I would bet anything that you could punch holes in that data pretty quickly.
Yeah, you're right. I would love to see that information. So when people call me and they say, well, my vet said this and my vet said that. And I said, well, did they give you the supporting documentation for that? When they say, we are seeing dogs coming in that are eating a raw diet that are mineral deficient or they're this or they're that, I say, all right, do they have an actual accounting of what foods and how much of those foods these so-called raw diets, you know, these pet parents are feeding in the raw diet? Because I have seen chicken out the wazoo, where people will feed kibble, okay, number one, bad, number two, then just chicken thigh, chicken wings, chicken this, and you are going to have some major problems with that type of diet. So like you're saying, it really depends what they're feeding, because you answered the question in one of our last podcast where you said, look, it's not the raw diet that's failing. It's the way that you feed the raw diet. If you are feeding chicken without organs, if you're feeding a organless blend, if you're feeding no bone, then those are the issues. So it's not the raw diet. And it just drives me crazy that people will not push back on anyone who gives out this kind of information, who will say, well, give me that documentation. Where's this, you know, really being proven? It's the same right. thing with people talking about salmonella in the raw dog food, or when vets say, you know, with this, you've got this bacteria. Well, let me ask you, you know, as Dr. Faulkner will say, Mr. Whitecoat, let me ask you, what's the benchmark for salmonella in dogs? What's the benchmark of salmonella in dry dog food versus raw dog food? There are no benchmarks.
No. And you don't even know cause and effect. I mean, I have literally seen cases, because I ask these questions. Like, I have a client that comes in, their dog got sick. They went into the ER and then they were told, like, they say the dog has diarrhea. Then they told them they're feeding raw, like, well, your dog has salmonella. And I'm like, do you have those test results? They didn't even test them. You know, there's no fecal culture. And like you're saying, there's not even an amount that could say, okay, this dog's diarrhea is due to this amount of salmonella, because there can be some normally in the stool. It's not like it can't exist in the gut in a healthy dog. It's just it could overgrow and cause disease in some circumstances. But I have yet to see a case where somebody's been told that their dog has salmonella, that we have like a definitive culture or some proof that there's an overgrowth of salmonella in that dog. They just, their dog's eating raw, it's got diarrhea, it's got salmonella. It's all presumptive, but this is the information that gets out there. And it's like you said, people don't ask questions. They don't ask, you know, where is this information coming from? Was this test done? I see presumptive diagnoses all the time. And I think it is such bad practice. It's really bad, the bad medical practice to just make assumptions based on symptoms. And then people have an answer and they're happy, but they're not getting accurate information. And I think it's really a shame, because people are just not being informed correctly.
Right. And I say, look, A plus B doesn't always equal C, people. You know, just because you started feeding a raw diet and your dog, you know, somewhere in there got loose stools, did not mean that they have salmonella or a bacteria overgrowth. It could just be there's a little too much organ, or maybe there's a little too much fat, or maybe the supplements that you're giving are causing digestive issues, or maybe it's just something in the air. I mean, you know, I don't know, Dr. Jasek, but do you call the restaurant every time that you get loose stools and say, I need to know what bacteria is in your food? I want all your food.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. I ate at this restaurant last night and I'm not feeling well today. So it's got to be the restaurant, right? I mean, you don't know that. I mean, you know, especially this time of year, my little dogs, oh, they love to go and they graze in my garden. I had like oregano up, you know, growing out there. And one of my little guys had, you know, a few days ago, really, really loose stools. And, but I see her out there for 15 minutes nosing around the garden, eating stuff. And I'm like, well, I'm sure that's what it is. You know, like you have to look at the whole picture and what else is going on. What's changed in the routine. We've had such a wet spring that there's a lot of stuff growing and dogs are curious. They're scavengers. They'd like to get out there and nibble on stuff and eat stuff. And we're going to have mushrooms growing and there's all kinds of things that can be contributing factors, but yeah, the raw just, and if they're eating kibble, nobody says, oh, well, your dog has diarrhea because of the kibble. It's only if they're eating raw that the food seems to get incriminated right off the bat.
Yeah. And it's just, again, it's beyond me that any vet could prescribe a dry diet. That's number one, a diet that is high in carbs. That's number two, a diet that has synthetic vitamins and minerals. Number three, I'm just like, I don't get it. And this is what's so funny about this article that came out from Tufts. This is a statement, this is a CYA statement right here. It says, if my dog, so they're putting 1, 2, 3. It says, if my dog is eating a BEG, a boutique diet, they're talking about raw diets, okay? But mm-hmm. has no symptoms. If my dog's eating a raw diet but has no symptoms, should I test for DCM or switch to a different diet? And here's their response. It's unlikely that most dogs eating a BEG diet will develop DCM. However, given the fact that we don't yet understand why BEG diets are affecting some dogs, and because DCM is a life-threatening disease, I recommend you reconsider your dog's diet until we know more. I'm just
totally vague and non-committal. And again, no facts backing up their statement. And that's where, you know, I feel, you know, so completely confident talking about raw feeding and recommending it because I've been doing it in practice. I mean, I probably 80% of my practice is cancer patients. This is life and death for these pets. And I'm putting them on raw diets because I absolutely believe it is the best diet for them. And the majority of my patients thrive. I mean, they're doing so well. It's almost amazing to me. I kind of like, okay, yes, we've got this diagnosis. Let's focus on helping the body to heal and do what the body needs to do. And the majority of pets do fabulous. Now, sometimes if the disease is more advanced or we have other issues, that's not always the outcome. But I take dogs off of kibble diets, like no carbs. I actually limit all produce. I actually recommend no produce for cancer patients. We go with the, you know, organ meat, and more animal products and less vegetable and fruit or eliminate it completely. No dairy. I'm taking them all off of dairy because I just believe dairy is potentially inflammatory. We know there's a lot of cross reactivity in people between dairy and gluten. And I don't know for certain that that's a factor in pets, but if there's protein cross reactivity in one species, I think that could be, a potential, you know, the cause of inflammation in the body. And I want these animals to live and to thrive. So I'm pulling out anything out that I think could potentially be inflammatory. And my patients are thriving. So I really don't care what other people say or the people could say that that's wrong. I'm seeing it with my own eyes every single day. And I'm seeing, you know, pets that have cancer diagnosis come in that are healthy, they're enjoying life, they're going hiking, they're vibrant. So, you know, nobody can tell me that my experience is wrong. And I have the evidence. Have I put together, you know, a formal research study or anything? No, but I've been practicing for over 30 years and I have fed all different kinds of diets. I started out recommending the, you know, the prescription diets like we're trained to do early in my career and made the transition. And now I'm really focusing in on, okay, where is this inflammation coming from and how can we improve the diet? And I've gotten further away from, like I said, from even vegetables and fruits and definitely away from synthetics. I see a lot of pets come in that are, you know, even already feeding raw that are on a lot of synthetic supplements. I'm starting to pull those out. There's just too many variables there. Get them on the whole food, basic diet that they're meant to eat.
So on that note, we had one of our customers whose dog has renal dysplasia. She ran out of our food, mm-hmm. which, as you know, our food has no additives, no premixes, no vitamins, no minerals added to it, okay? It's just the animal. And she went into our local pet store, in whom I love, but she said, I was looking around at all these commercial raw foods. And she said, and they're all the list of all the stuff that was in it. She said, I just walked up there and I said, can I just get a raw food that has nothing in it? It is pure. And their response was this. So you're saying you don't want to feed a complete and balanced diet? You don't want a raw food that has everything your dog needs in it? This is what they were saying. And so yeah. People walk out and they're like, well, of course I want, you know, a complete and balanced diet for my dog. And she said, it just really frustrated me. And we had another customer go to another pet food store who they sell themselves as like the educational pet food store. And they gave her that same spiel. And I said, listen, and we talked about this on the new feeders webinar last night, Neely Piazza and I did. Anytime that somebody throws out this complete and balanced, if it says complete and balanced, that is a dead giveaway right there, folks, that there are lots of different minerals and supplements added to the food. And what you're saying, Dr. Jasek, is this. Look, we can add it. We can add those supplements if we need it. But if it's in the food already, you cannot take it out. You cannot take it out mm-hmm. of there. And you can't figure out sometimes what the offending issue is. So that's what we talk about in our food that is pure, it's pure raw. And today we see this getting very, very convoluted. And we're seeing a lot of new raw foods come on the market that are made by veterinarians, where they are adding tomato paste, they are adding garlic, they're adding salt, they're adding all these different things, plus all these different vitamins and minerals. And we've tried some of those out, and our dogs really did have diarrhea. Now, whether it was a case that the dogs needed to get used to it, I don't know. But my dog's not used to having all that stuff in her food. But I think this is something that our new feeders have a hard time getting their heads around. It's like, you know, if you don't have all these complete and balanced checks on your food, then, you know, maybe there's something wrong with that. And I say, it's just the opposite, people.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's just kind of the way our culture has been, you know, trained to think. I mean, you look at the multivitamin industry for people, like, well, you just take your vitamin every day and then you can eat whatever else you want, but you have no idea if what's in that vitamin mineral supplement is even bioavailable, if your body can even use it. Is it appropriate for the, you know, the cells in your body? Are they able to utilize it? I think sometimes there's ingredients in these that are even toxic. They put, you know, chemicals in, anti-caking agents. I mean, I am blown away at some supplements that are supposed to be, you know, natural and whole food and all that. You look at the ingredients, there'll be 30 plus ingredients in there. Some of them are chemicals. I don't even know what they are. And like, seriously? Like, and I absolutely pull pets off of those because that I have no idea if your pet could be reacting to any of these ingredients, or is the supplement helping? And if we can prove that, you know, without a doubt, a pet does better on a certain supplement, then by all means, I mean, I never argue with success, but what I'm finding more and more is I take pets off of the supplements, any kind of synthetic supplement, they most of the time do better. And I'll even have their, you know, their guardians will say like, yeah, I don't really even think this is doing any good, but you know, we were told to put them on it and they're afraid to take them off of it. And like, okay, well, let's take all that money you're spending on those supplements and let's enhance the diet and let's get a really sound whole food diet and then see how your pet does. And most of the time, it's almost all the time, those supplements aren't doing anything. There's no benefit whatsoever. And I think they actually could be contributing to the to inflammation in the body.
Well, and it's, I mean, we sell supplements. We have them on our site. We have the Adored Beast and we like that. I think you've taken a look at that. You like those. You have the Chinese herbs that you use a lot. So mm-hmm. We're not saying that you can't use any supplements, but what we're saying is like, look, there's a lot of marketing that goes on out there with pet food and we want to do what's best for our pets. And I think that's really where people get confused. And I always say, first and foremost, we have to get a diet that is clean, a clean diet. Mm-hmm. That's the basis. Right. So we can figure out what's going on. We got to heal that gut. We got to get that gut in a good position. And so you do that through feeding a species appropriate diet, a diet that has the organs, the bone. And I love what you said. And I've repeated this many times since you said this on the podcast that you said, I like to do, you know, these different models where maybe they're getting a lot of bone one day and they're not getting so much the next day, or they're getting more organs one day and not so much, you know, that it is a lot of variety in there. And that's really how you get these different vitamins and minerals in the dog's body. And some people are just really, you know, afraid to venture out. Somebody asked me last night on the beginners webinar, they said, every time I switch my dog to a different protein, she throws up for about the first three feedings. So there's so many variables in that. I'm not sure. What would you say about that just right off the top of your head?
Well, I mean, the first question I would ask is what else are they giving the dog? Because whenever I hear a story like that, the majority of the time, there's other things. I mean, I question people sometimes. I'll find out they're feeding things like greenies that are completely wheat-based, you know? I mean, and people that are like really animate about like raw feeding, and I really will question them. So what else are you giving? What treat? What supplements? Other things like that. Because, you know, they really shouldn't be. So I would find out about that. And then I would ask about, has the dog been on antibiotics? Have we had any medications, anything going on, vaccines, anything that could have impacted the body? Because from my perspective, there's got to be another factor in there. The dog shouldn't be vomiting just because you're changing proteins. And like I think I've said before, I don't really believe there's a lot of true food allergies out there. I think there's other components that affect the dog's digestive system. So I think I would ask a lot of questions about what else is going on. And then say there was absolutely nothing else in the, you know, like completely clean, nothing else. Then I say, well, perhaps this dog is sensitive to, you know, a particular protein, but if the dog does that every time you change protein, there's got to be an underlying cause of some sort. And this could be something, the dog could have been on antibiotics months ago, and then we we've impacted the gut and the gut microbiome. And so now the gut is not able to handle these transitions. They're, in my mind, they're almost always, there just has to be another cause, another factor entering into that picture.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I totally agree. But it, you know, what's really funny is that people call me and they really want it to be the food. Okay. And when I say it's not the food and I go into this questioning, or I'm a little more gentle. I say, I don't think it's the food. If it's the food, we would have thousands of pet parents calling me, and trust me, they call. And we do document, you know, we go through and we have them fill out a form. And you can see on these forms, I just had the lepto vaccine. I just, you know, had rabies shots. I just did this. My dog's been on antibiotics, blah, 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 blah. But I will tell you, they get really nasty with me and really angry with me when I say it's not the food. And I'm always, you know, I try to look at that from a psychological standpoint. And I think it's because we as humans need an answer. And if it can be the food, then we don't have to worry about anything else. Right. And we, you know what I'm saying? So it's a really, this is a very tough business. And you and I have talked about this, quite in depth about, you know, pet health, because there's so emotional, there's a lot of emotion that goes into this. There's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of fear. And I would just encourage you guys that are listening today, you know, to take a step back, and don't be so frightened, you know, really use your thinking brain. We like to shut our brains off today and just be on autopilot because we have so much information coming at us. But I think you really have to get simple, with the dogs. Take all that dry food out of the diet. Your dog is not allergic to every protein. And because I get that so many times. A lady contacted me and she wanted to know if she could just do a fish only diet. And I said, well, why? And she said, because I've tried every protein and my dog's got diarrhea, but it was every protein on a dry diet. And I said, it's not the same. It's not the same. We can't, you can't compare a dry diet to the raw diet. But I think these podcasts really do help people. You know, we go into a little more into depth about what you can expect on the raw diet. Certainly what we have seen on the raw diet in the last 20 years and in the last 5 years since this has become even more popular, I would say, maybe the awareness has gotten greater. That's a better term. That we have seen some of these fear-based questions come about. And some people go running back to the dry diets. And I can't see that that's going to be a benefit to your dog's health. Whether your dog has cancer, whether it's senior, IBD, IBS, you really want to contact Dr. Judy Jasek. Dr. Judy, holisticvet.com. She does phone consultations. She can look at your pet's medical records and really give you some good advice. Even if you're not here in the Denver area, she can help you out, help relieve your fear. There's a way to sign up for that on her website. There's some great blogs there. And Dr. Judy, we're going to be doing some webinars pretty soon, some in-depth webinars, maybe about itchy dogs. Certainly, I want to do one on how to help pet parents decipher these blood values when they go in and get tested. And then a traditional vet maybe is looking at a raw-fed pet, and those blood values are a little bit skewed. And many times, I see them scaring the pants off of our pet parents. So those can be some great, great webinars. But what are some other things that you're helping your patients out with right now?
Well, I start with, I actually work with a fair number of puppies. So I love to get puppies started on minimal vaccine protocols. I mean, because this is where, when we can get puppies off to a great start in life and help build that healthy immune system right from the get-go, we are building a really important foundation. And I think a lot of puppies, because they get so over-vaccinated, they get so many vaccines, and then if they're not on a species appropriate diet, their immune systems are damaged for the rest of their life. And that's why we see chronic inflammatory disease. So I do monovalent vaccines. I'm only giving one component at a time. We try to spread them out. We do titer testing. If the puppies responded, I see a lot of puppies that respond to just one vaccine, and we don't have to even do boosters. So we're monitoring that. I'd love to get puppies started off on the right track. And, you know, I help with all areas of holistic health. I mean, my business is, I specialize in providing alternative care for cancer patients, but it's all cancer prevention if I'm helping pets live healthier lives. So whether it's, you know, maintenance, you just want your pets to be healthy and live the best life possible, and they don't currently have any symptoms, or they have chronic disease. You know, from a holistic perspective, I can help with just about anything.
Oh, snap.
Find out how you can start your dog on the road to health and longevity. Go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where friends don't let friends feed kibble, and where your pet's health is our business.
Just snap.